have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and I'm joined by Jay Cranda at Jay Cranda on Twitter. Jay, what's up?
Nothing much.
You like, Nils, that, like that intro?
I know. I like that. I like that little intro. So that was good.
Plug on Twitter at Jay Cranda, and on, I think, at Jay Cranda on Instagram as well. But it doesn't.
Yeah. For the most part, I own them all. So
you own them all.
Yeah.
JayCranda.com. Yeah. So we'll let everybody go find that. So we've got some news we want to update everybody in, and we've got a great question. I was hanging out with my friend Warren Bird yesterday from Leadership Network. And Warren, I know you listen to every episode, so thank you for listening to the podcast. And thank you, Leadership Network, for distributing our podcast to your network as well. And so,
hashtag leadership.
Hashtag lead net. So yeah, there you go. Jay. All right. So let's talk about a couple new trends. And then I want to jump into a question that Warren asked me and encouraged me to share with all of you guys. Actually, I'll go ahead and ask it on the front end, cause we're gonna talk about what we're gonna talk about. He asked me, and I was, you know, his friend Jaime from university was there, and he said, what social networks should Jaime be on for their ministry to college students, and what social networks should we be on for my church, you know, just outside of the city here in New York? And so we had that question. So Jay and I are going to answer that question in a little bit in the podcast. Let's first talk about a couple trends. Twitter added a new feature recently called Facebook polls, not Facebook, called Twitter polls.
Twitter,
or I don't know what it's called, Twitter polls, but it's polls. So when you go to tweet, you see a new option now that says polls, and you can basically have a tweet, and then you have two options where people can check. You can't do a bunch of options. It's somewhat limited now, but it's kind of a fun feature. I believe they last 24 hours that people can vote on your poll, and then it's public. You know, people can see the responses. You don't know who voted for what. You just know that you had maybe 50 responses and what they voted for. Anything, Jay, you would want to add to the poll features or what people should know about it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it says a lot. I mean, everything that Twitter has done in the last, I think, year, and we talked about this on a previous episode with Jack Dorsey back as the CEO, there's just a lot more. I mean, I've always been a fan of Twitter, but I think for me, I've always defined the audience that's there. Like, Twitter is a networking resource for me. Yeah. And then like, I have a brother, like me and him interact. Actually, it's fun. We solely, pretty much that and texting, we interact that way. Mm. And so like, I think we talk about this all in a lot of different social networks, but the more you can figure out the type of audience you can reach, it really defines what you post and how you interact. And so for me, I just thought it gave me hope that they're developing and they're always evolving, and it kind of forever was a little stagnant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah. I use lists heavy, and that's kind of what I use it for. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think we talked about this on a previous episode too, about, a sports website, Grantland, got shut down by ESPN. Well, like, I created a list for all the writers that I liked, so I can continue to engage with them. And that's how I engage with as many followers as I do, is that I use that stuff. And so Twitter poll to me was a great way to engage on another level. I love the way you used it with me. You were trying to get me to engage on who's better, Kobe or Duncan, or who had.
I really wasn't looking for engagement from you, Jay. I was looking for an engagement from the Twitterverse. And so I asked on a Twitter poll for those that follow me to help you understand who's better,
Kobe Bryant
or Tim Duncan. And what was the response? Do you remember the response?
Oh, no. It doesn't surprise me. A guy from Texas gets that response. Oh, what a shock.
You know what? I think you should ask as the exact same question, and let's see what the response is. And let's see if it's different. I would assume that based on where you're located, it might be a little different. So it was 80-20, 80% said Tim Duncan.
Wait, no. Remind everybody where you grew up. Like, what's the city you grew up in?
I grew up in Houston, Texas.
Okay,
Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler.
Okay, no. Where have you lived, like, in the last 10 years, where have you lived more?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas.
The home of six NBA championships in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and ratings dropping, you know, marketers hate it. Marketers hate the Spurs because
they do is win.
Yeah. Okay. No.
So we're having fun with the polls feature. Yeah, I will say getting practical with the polls, though, or, you know,
I don't know. Are we talking about the election now? Like, what's going on right now?
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, don't touch politics with the polls. Talk about some other things.
Like, go to the polls or don't get on the poll. Like, I don't understand.
It is interesting that this came out during a political season right now, that Twitter.
That's true.
So anyways, even for my blog, though, I asked people how many people have cut the cord. I figured it'd be like 25%. It was actually 60%.
Oh, wow.
People said they had cut the cord. Another is Google Trends is a blog post that I posted, and only 10% had ever even heard of it. And so really interesting for me to get a pulse on, you know, my listeners. I think for churches, you can get a pulse of your congregation on some different.
Are you able, I haven't done this yet, but I didn't see, I'm assuming you're able to embed the poll question on your website.
You know, I don't think so. I haven't seen that feature. I think it just lives on Twitter. Now, I've taken like a screenshot and posted it. I think I just sent an email.
I think that what I love about it, I think just honestly, is that I think sometimes Twitter can, I feel like people burn through content so quick on their feed that engagement sometimes doesn't always represent the health of your channel because it's just a different type of audience. And so what I love about it, what I love about the Twitter polls is that you can get people to engage on a different level. So I just don't think like, I think every one retweet is worth more versus one like. I think it's just worth more. It's a different type of measurement. So I think you can have zero people engaging on your content, but you're still valuable. And what I like about it is that they're trying to make it an easier first step, like a crawl step in order to get somebody to engage on the content. But I think it's useful. I think it's going to be fun. There, trust me, I'm so pumped. I'm going to do one on Brady. Did he cheat? So let's see where that goes. So,
well, I think the big, you know, polls, go use them, test them, experience them. But I think what you spoke to is Twitter is moving fast. They're innovating fast. And that's a great sign for Twitter and people that are invested in Twitter. I love their new moments function they added recently as well. So I think keep your eye on Twitter. I think it's going to continue to grow. If you look at Instagram, I haven't seen Instagram make many updates in the last 2 years, it seems.
Yeah, well, they just keep on releasing these third-party apps. That's what their model is. I was only going to call it Canvas, but it wasn't. It was the portrait thing. But they keep on doing that, which is an interesting model that instead of making it a feature built into your app, you release another app.
Yeah.
And which would feel problematic. Like, I hate having... I want the all-in-one app all the time. I think that's what I want. I want the thing that will simplify my home screen. So I think that's an interesting model. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, there's not a lot of change. But yeah, I that's just a structure question.
Yeah, and Instagram's, I mean, it's not slowing down. So there's still good engagement there. And now, you know, you could do advertising on Instagram now too, which is interesting. We'll do that. We'll talk about that in another show. The other trend that you and I are constantly watching and talking about is virtual reality 360 video. It seems like it is everywhere. There, I just saw a VR video of the first Broadway show. There's a Broadway show that is now available in VR where you can watch it virtual reality. I just went to a conference in Colorado a couple weeks ago, took those goggles with me. Watching the wow factor of somebody who's never experienced VR is so fun and exciting. It's every time it's like, whoa, you know, and it, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it shocks me how many people aren't aware of it, but you were telling me there, you know, YouTube's doing some stuff. Facebook, you now see a lot of videos. You don't even realize that they're VR. You can touch the screen though and move them around.
Yeah. The big thing. And I think we talked about this numerous times on the show, but I think the confusion factor of how you, how two things, how you record VR, and then where do you upload and people experience the video of the VR? So the idea of like, oh, 360 video, yeah, there's probably a lot we could do, but like, how do I capture it? And then one step further, if I have this video file, like, is it a normal video file? Like, where do I upload it? And then do I have to have a specialty player? And most of the VR that we know of or that has existed in the last couple of years, you know, the really good ones are standalone apps and clearly have their custom built video player in order to consume it. And so YouTube, just for language, there's 360 video where most of the time on a web player, you can click if you're on a desktop and you can move around in a 360 environment. You can look around. And then, so that's 360 video. YouTube has supported 360 video for a while. There's music videos and different things. You can go 360. VR is technically the screen is cut into half and they're set for your eyes, and you put it into a Google Cardboard or whatever. And then when you put them on, you it moves around with the motion of your head. And so there's 360 video in VR. Well, what YouTube has supported 360 video for a while, well, they had just announced in, I think it was November 8th or 10th, that they were going to support VR in their mobile app. And so the idea is that you can, and they didn't really bring a lot of clarity. It kind of felt like a small release, actually. Like, they didn't really talk a lot about it, but the idea was, it felt like what they were saying was, if you're watching something in 360 video, you could auto watch it in VR, which would make perfect sense that you could just toggle and there would be a button to go, you know, VR mode. And you can then put on your goggles. So I think we were texting that to me was kind of a game changer because, okay, I don't want to upload to some weird web player somewhere that no one's ever going to use. Yeah. But if I can upload something to YouTube and it either would be 360 on desktop and then somebody can turn it into VR and mobile, then I go, okay, then that might be worth testing. And we are actually just now, I have a meeting with somebody with a couple video players on our team of to kind of go like, hey, can we actually test this? Because there's some real possibility between what GoPro offers. They have kind of a kit. Yep. There's some smaller players that are like $350, like, but they only record like 25 minutes of video. There's still some major hurdles, but for the church specifically. But I think with YouTube doing that, I think that's a big game changer because it kind of levels the playing field on your user base.
Yeah. And we bought one of those $300 cameras at CBC. We bought it for a day and then we realized it was so limited. We sent it back. But we were able, you know, it could only shoot up to like 5 minutes of video. And we uploaded it to YouTube and pretty cool. I mean, just
imagine that stitch job on like on a church service. Like, they're not even ready. Like, how many times you have to record and reload?
I mean, it is ridiculous right now. And even the quality was so low. But you know, I think this technology is moving so quickly. I feel like you and I just started talking about 6 months ago. It was maybe a year ago that I first tried on Oculus Rift and I've been like reading every article I can on it. But it is just the space is moving so quickly. The opportunities are moving quickly. It just is fun and exciting.
Do you think with as much, and this will be our last question until we'll go back to our original question. Yeah. But you know, obviously there's been so much talk about VR. There's so much movement. We've talked about it more. And it's not that, you know, we might be a little bit of nerds for this tech because of some of the stuff we live in and we've experienced it. So somebody listening is thinking, why are they talking about this? Our church is just nailing down, you know, normal video. But I think for us, it's just, we see the potential out of it. It's just the ceiling. It's kind of like the difference between Kobe Bryant's ceiling and Duncan's ceiling, you know, just to say. But for you, what do you see do you think with all this talk with, you know, with Rift, Oculus Rift, do you think actually people will make the trigger and actually buy something like that because it's so much better in that type of mode? Do you think it's actually becoming more likely that people will spend the money for that?
Yeah, I think so. Because you think about the people said a few years ago that 3D video was going to be a big deal and you could get 3D TVs and get the glasses and it really kind of bombed, you know, where not that people did. And honestly, people didn't want to wear the glasses at that point. But I think this is what I'm seeing every time I put in the, you know, use the, and I'm just using the cheap $12 thing off of Amazon and putting my phone in there. the wow moment of people watching that experience, it is such a consuming experience. 3D was like, oh, that was kind of cool. This is virtual reality is such a, it's, I can't even describe it. You know, people just have to experience it. But I think movies, video games, whatever the experience might be, you know, I can't wait to see this Broadway show in VR. It's a consuming experience that if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie, undistracted, I'd rather have the consuming experience rather than, you know, whatever the one shot, you know, I think we're going to laugh and say, remember when all we could see was that one box?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of like when I'm going to watch a basketball game, if I can watch that in VR and look all around, you know, whatever I choose to look at, that's an experience. You know, that's when I want to watch basketball rather than the square they decided to put it in right now.
I like the way you said that.
Yeah, it's just going to be tremendous. So let's shift the conversation. We're going to talk more and more about VR future episodes. I want to talk about Apple TV too. I'm about 2 weeks into owning an Apple TV. Love a lot of the functions. Disappointed, honestly, in some of the apps that aren't there yet.
Yeah.
Like Sling TV and Amazon. I think there's just some wars going on behind the scenes. But the device itself, I'm loving. Some cool church stuff already out there. You and I are working on an app that I think most people are aware of, but if you're not, go check out tvapp.church, tvapp.church. We are working with some friends to create a TV app for Apple TV for churches at an affordable rate. It'll also be available for Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And so anyways, we're really excited about it. We still don't have details as far as what it's going to cost, when exactly it will be available, but we are giving away an Apple TV for everybody who signs up for news and information. We'll be giving it away on New Year's Eve. And so go sign up at tvapp.church, sign up for news and information, and you will be the first to know when it's available. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you, we're going to offer it at the lowest possible price. And really, I mean, it's going to be a great product. So anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, no. And we want to help you take back your living room. That's our big goal is that with the church. The living room is a training, a resource. It's a vacant room that's always available for you to book. And I think with a TV app for your church, you can start leveraging the living room in a way that you never thought was possible. So make sure you go to tvapp.church, sign up, enter a chance to win a Apple TV. So with the last couple of minutes, Nils, let's tackle this question that you were kind of teasing at the front end. What are the social media channels that you would recommend? And I think for me, I would start right off. My number one question is going to be, who's your audience? Who's your demographic? And so If you're a church, 99% of the time, I'd say, you know, knock Facebook out of the park, start there and end there and focus there. And then if you're anyone else, if you're an organization, I would start going, okay, are you more college? Or are you more this? Because that's where you start branching out and figuring out where you can be great at.
And my advice, you know, to the leader of the university was, you know, when you're dealing with college students, I don't know that I'd spend that much time on Facebook. I would dig into Snapchat and Instagram, and where he connected it is, I was like, Snapchat is all about storytelling. You know, think about, you know, start using it. Don't wait for me to tell you how to use it. Just start using it. Pay attention to how others are using it and figure out how you can best tell stories on the platform. Instagram, I would say, is even easier to figure out. And they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. And so how do you just creatively use that platform to engage people? Same thing with storytelling. But being personal, having fun, Snapchat especially is a fun app. And I think church leaders often get too serious about it. And it's like, just get on social media and have some fun. and then you can minister through fun, you know, and creativity. So I agree. I mean, I think it depends on where you are. I'm with you. Start with Facebook, you know, depending on your church, you know, a lot of times Twitter, Instagram come next. And YouTube, you know, I told Warren that YouTube is typically my number two, but I almost, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I consider it a social network. I don't know that you engage socially there, but I would be uploading content there because video is so key. Yeah. And so I'd almost say Facebook and then YouTube, but it's not really where the social engagement's happening. Like Twitter and Instagram are more social than YouTube is as a platform. And then things like, you know, I work with the ministry, Tammy Head, as a client of mine. And so she's in women's ministry. Pinterest is a big part of our strategy with her. And so she's engaging women. primarily, and you know, and then and I know you're big on MySpace, and so if you want to tell everybody your MySpace strategy,
JT, Justin Timberlake, man,
Justin Timberlake,
still so, rocking it.
Yeah, I think it's still out there. I don't know that MySpace.
No, I think they're trying to become a niche. They're trying to take a Seth Godin kind of approach there with music, but I don't think it's really working. Which you kind of forget, like MySpace, that was a big thing, was playing music when you loaded a page, and they try to go to that route, but it's just, it's one of those things. I think it's hard when you're in a market that's so large now, when you got billions of users on some end, and you just, you know, you can be a niche, but I don't think investors are going to want to be that when MySpace is trash. But anyway, I think, and you're going to hear this from us over and over again, the best way to learn on any of these platforms is just get into the water and play around. It's, you know, Snapchat for me is one of those things that, like, I only got until I started really using it. It's like, I don't get it. What's up with this user face? It feels like I'm like using something designed in paint. I don't understand it. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? One of my friends pitched it to me as like, oh, it's kind of like text messages, but you don't really have to respond or read them right away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, that was a weird pitch. and so it's all that stuff is interesting, but you got to know your target. And then from there you decide, okay, how do I leverage this? I think all these channels are powerful. Facebook is definitely one of the places you got to knock it, but I think too many people want to do everything at once. And the goal would be figure out one, knock it out of the park and figure out what works, and then replicate it. I think the worst thing you can do is push the same content on all channels. That just doesn't work anymore. That used to work. I think that's slowly going away, where you have to become, that's why your church needs to be building it, or your organizations need to build some kind of social media ministry. And I think those are the people that it's work to develop content and do some of these things. So, I think, you know, for anything else and to learn more about us and the show, go to socialmedia.church. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. We got some freebies if you sign up for that. Visit tvapp.church to enter in for a chance to win a Apple TV and learn how we can help your church take back the living room. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.